Member supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 10th day of September, Anno Domini 2022, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. But here comes the news.
But first,
we should announce it. Let's see. Soundbites had their birthday last week. Who could have a birthday today?
Not you. That's, yours is later in the month.
Yep. And so
not
is Steve.
His is later in the month.
So that must mean
it is my birthday today.
Twice in a row on the actual day. That's pretty good.
That's exactly right. It is my birthday today, and I am proudly 72 years old. I know. For you, that's a puppy. For him, that's decrepit.
Something to aspire to.
Yes, exactly.
Like you say, I'm so old, I'm older than dirt because I invented it.
You're older than my wife because that would be weird if you weren't.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I should say, well, she can't be listening.
Different. Yeah, it could be.
My wife is on her honor flight this weekend to the Vietnam memorials in Washington.
Very nice.
Coming home tomorrow about noon. I know a lot of people like to go to the honor flights every weekend and honor the veterans that are coming back.
Yep.
That didn't get that honor when they came back last time.
That's exactly right.
Stand guard as they come back from seen many a tear when they've rolled down there, because I used to do honor flight.
Both from them and from their guards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's a beautiful thing.
I'm making a sign.
Nice.
Cool.
For her graduation. Oh, let me see if I get it on camera. Her graduation from basic training.
Very nice.
We weren't allowed to smile at basic training.
Yeah. So I want to find someone who knows ribbons to figure out what all these ribbons are. Because you earn ribbons during basic training, apparently?
Yeah. There's a yellow and reddish, which is the fire watch. Yeah, this one right here. This one right there is the fire, what they call fire watch.
Yeah.
Fire watch ribbon.
So she got to watch a fire?
No. During basic training, believe it or not, in the barracks and that, you had to stand fire watch duty.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case. And we used to do 1 hour shifts, and the whole barracks, they'd take turns, and they'd wake a person up. You had to get up, get dressed, and then walk for an hour, and then wake up the next person until morning at sunrise.
Nice. All right. On Wednesday, Apple had their yearly new product drop called the Far Out event, and there was a lot, and there was very little, and it was great, and it was disappointing.
Far out, man.
Far out. Far out. Out of state. Posturepedic. The Watch Series 8 includes two new temperature sensors to help determine if you're ovulating, or if there's a problem with your periods. The Watch SE has a newer processor. The Watch Ultra is for extreme sports people. Oh, new colors, new bands. The AirPods 2 now include a smaller ear tip, capacitive controls, and the new H2 audio chip. The iPhone 14 includes the A15 Bionic chip, which is a slight improvement over last year's, better thermal performance, many camera improvements, and a brighter display. Oh, and new colors. Of course, the grumbling started immediately. Even Steve Jobs' daughter, Eve, got in on it by posting a meme implying that the new phones look just like the old phones, which of course means how can people tell you're hip and with it and trendy and cool unless you tell them outright, which of course is not hip or with it or trendy or cool. Look, what did you expect? Phones already do so much, and the form factor is already extremely functional. Unless you've got a folder or some science fiction-y projector or pull-out transparent screen, you're not going to get much in the way of form factor. without a technological hardware breakthrough, slightly better battery life and slightly faster performance are about the best you can expect. All the magic is going to happen in the software. And that's where these new products shine. Photo software, audio software, crash detection, emergency services, and the like are great additions, but they're not sexy, just really, really useful.
Yeah, needed items.
Yeah. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Apple's Far Out event. And your choices are great stuff. I was underwhelmed. Too pricey for me. Meh. And, of course, other. So far, we have 22 votes in the system, 18 of which are for meh.
Well, again, because they can't see. Like you said, it's all under the hood.
Right.
Even though it's making other features work better, they don't equate the two.
And there's a lot of competition driving between Samsung and Google and Apple that one of the big things people claim is, oh, well, Samsung had that feature for years. Okay, now Apple's got it. So some new feature that Apple's got is going to end up in Google next year.
Right.
So they keep pushing each other, and that's good for us in the end.
I had that discussion with somebody this week. I said, yeah, we were talking about the crash protection thing where if you get in a crash,
There's a 200G force sensor on it, so it knows car crashes now instead of just falls.
Right. And so I said, I've had that on my phone for quite a while now, and I'm nervous about it, or at least I was at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tend to throw my phone around.
Mm-hmm.
And I worried that it was going to go off. But it doesn't matter because it screams for a minute before it calls anybody. So I would have a minute to shut it down. And then this person got mad at me. Oh, Android had it before Apple? Is that what you're saying? No. It was a story about me being nervous about throwing my phone around. For
they always go on the defensive.
One of the interesting things that I've found is that the notch at the top, which is the cutout where the camera and the face ID detection system and all that stuff.
Right.
That was a big thing a couple of years ago. Now they have reduced the notch to just, it's not quite an oval, rounded rectangle, I guess.
Yeah.
but they hide it with your notifications. So when a call comes in or a message comes in, that's where the notification comes up and you don't see that notch anymore. In fact, I don't see it much on my computer now. I can see the green light staring at me because the camera's on. But you basically you learn to ignore that notch, and now that they're hiding it inside notifications, it's like it's not there at all.
Right.
Until they can get all of those sensors behind the glass, and it's not just behind the glass; it's behind the touch sensor, it's behind the LCD panel, probably in front of the battery, but there's too many things it has to get through.
Right.
So you couldn't put, actually, very difficult to put an actual camera back there.
I've never understood why people are upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's don't get it.
How does it interfere with the function of the phone?
Well, because you're losing a piece of the screen. Well, no, that's what they did.
You're still losing it. That is still a lost piece of screen.
When they went from no notch to a notch, they raised the edges of the screen. In fact, one guy, Rene Ritchie on iMore, called it horns. He prefers to call it horns because they raised the outside edges of the screen to give you more screen. So now that's your battery indicator on one side and your cellular indicator and things like that. They could have left it just flat so you had that forehead at the top with no screen behind it. But no, they give you a little bit more screen. So it's
And they still complain about that.
Well, of course they're going to complain.
Everyone finds something to complain about.
Anyway, if you want to complain, you can join us on our forums at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. You'll see the forum. Second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 10-SEP-22, Apple's Far Out event. And, of course, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
What that does do, too, is push down the prices of the older products.
Right.
You can get
They've already reached the limit, and so the new phones are pretty much at that limit.
You can get a 13 for $100 less. You can get the iPhone SE starts at $399. The Watch SE starts at $249. The Watch Ultra is also a dive computer.
Right.
So you can use it for scuba diving to 40 meters. It's a mountaineering computer, so it will calculate your you know mountain
altitude.
Treks. Yep. It has 36-hour battery life, and in low power mode, it will last for 60 hours. So for your long treks between charging. The other thing that's really neat on the FO14 is the satellite emergency SOS option. That if you're somewhere where there's no cell service, like on your forest camping trips, it will still be able to do emergency SOS through cellular. A lot of 911 centers will already have a satellite connection, so it will do a direct satellite connection to the 911 center. Or in areas that don't do that, it's satellite to a relay station where Apple people will relay it to the actual 911
center. So like the GPS systems.
Yeah, the high-end GPS.
GPS systems you know, are in a lot of phones and everything else that they track literally where you're, say you're a biker, and it can track your whole bike path and show you, like they show you on the watch.
Yeah.
That's all they're doing is using Whisper and the APRS to through satellites because there's so many up there.
Yeah. Well, and that's the difference between that and the emergency thing.
Yeah. This is a short text messages. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the big problem with satellite-based GPSs is you need four satellites, a lock on four different satellites to get your X, Y, and Z coordinates. You know, three just gives you latitude and longitude. You need the fourth one to get altitude, so if you're halfway up the mountain or not. And that can take 12, 15 minutes to get a satellite lock being out in the open. You know, you get under too many trees, you may not get a satellite lock.
Right.
And so that's the big meme on a lot of TV shows. They always have to get to the top of the ridge and above the trees to hold their phone up high to get a satellite signal. But satellite phones used to be these monster contraptions.
Right.
And they've gotten just as small as regular phones now. Just like, you know, most technology keeps getting smaller and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was chatting with some people about this, and one was complaining that you have to hold your phone up to the satellite. You have to track it. First, they make it easy to do with the thing. And second, your other choices die.
Yeah.
Well, so pick one.
Satellite tracking is so easy
and three
nowadays.
Extra feet holding your phone up—that may not make much difference.
You don't even have to hold it up. You just have to point it at the satellite, and they help you do that. There's
It's
like a little video game. Point it at the satellite, and keep pointing it at the satellite.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
And it's just enough to send your coordinates,
which is all they need.
Yep.
Because the most you might have to do is if you're facing, say, north or south, depending on the direction of the satellite. Is as it's coming up overhead, is turn around to the opposite direction and see it as it's going off into the other direction.
Exactly.
That's all it is. It's tracking. And it doesn't, like, wander, you know, 50 miles or even 2 miles, you know, one way to the other. It's a straight line, folks.
Right.
So since GPS started, they've launched 78 satellites. 31 are still operational.
Wow.
Three are unhealthy.
Wow. What?
Unhealthy.
Unhealthy.
41 have been retired and two were launched or lost during launch. So there needs to be a minimum of 24 operational satellites to give global coverage. So we have that now. But it may take a few minutes to get enough of a lock so that the GPS satellite can get your coordinates and be able to send it off. And in fact, I read, I don't remember the company name. Some satellite company's quarterly filings indicate a big contract with Apple. So we wonder what they're doing. Now we know. Yeah.
And of course, for those of you whose biggest trek is the couch to the refrigerator and back again, none of this is important, but.
Right.
For those of you who are big outdoorsy types.
And I believe they said that it's the satellite emergency service is going to be free for 2 years.
Yeah, they did.
When you buy your phone. So if you keep your phone longer than that, there may be a charge. So if you're not the type of person to get lost in the woods frequently, you may not need that feature.
Exactly. Which is a large part of why it's free. They expect a very small number of people.
Yeah, it's not going to be a mass, you know.
Right.
Well, when
rush to.
I imagine when the phone first comes out, there's going to be a lot of people playing with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, turning the feature on and playing with it. Yeah. And that. It's just like with a lot of the handheld radios for ham, they have what they call Whisper. And what you can do is turn that mode on and let it run on your computer. And it, what it does is it's very low wattage, maybe, you know, up to 2 watts, and it sends out your signal. And it comes back and reports how far you got out, whether you got halfway around the world or just around the block. And it's just a reporting system. And again, it's just off of all these satellites that are out there that Whisper will hear your signal and then report it back. So there's hundreds of those out there, too.
Yeah. That's... we don't, you know, if you unless you're in that community, you don't know all the resources that are out there that are available to people for these things. But yeah, it was both overwhelming in the number of really cool new features they had, and underwhelming for those people who are not great outdoorsers, and were hoping for the next big thing. Until the next big thing happens, you're going to get,
and pretty much all of these features had already been rumored.
That's the other thing.
The satellite phone was one of the rumors a lot of people didn't believe much. But then I started hearing, no, it's not for satellite conversations. It's for satellite emergency SOS. Yeah, okay, that makes more sense.
Yep. Yeah.
And so we, you know, Al from the Poco Show asked, should he upgrade his 13 to a 14? Probably not.
Right.
Unless you do a lot of video. What the video stabilization feature is amazing.
Quite amazing.
It's like having a multi-$1,000 Steadicam, trademark. for your phone. And I know people who have bought gimbals like that for their phone. And you see them in commercials every now and then where they're using those gimbals with their phone. But yeah.
Well, it's like those things used to be harnesses.
For theatrical movies, it's a guy wearing a 100-pound harness with all this camera. Well, the camera probably is half the weight of the harness.
Right. Well, like you're saying, though, that's the whole problem is they're running out of features. Look at Google. They came with their, you know, the new camera with the low lighting and the enhancing and that and erasing people out of the background if you want to get rid of those. Matter of fact, there's a package that you can try. And I think it's called Inpixo, Inpixo. Yeah, Inpixo. And it does the same thing. You can try it out and you can take your photos and, you know, cut out people and put them in different backgrounds and all that. But the phones, for the most part, are coming out of options. It's just, you know, like you say, just, oh, well, it's another phone. And even though they've added all these great features to the 14, they're under the hood where they can't woo and ah people that they're going standing in line at midnight for the stores to open to get the next one.
So let's be honest, the vast majority of people will never use any of those features.
But they still got to have them.
They still got to have them.
So I've got a 7. I might upgrade to a 12 now.
Right.
I rarely use it as a phone.
Right.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I use it to look stuff up and to as an alarm.
Most of the time I use my iPad. I rarely use my phone, period.
Right. Podcast
in the car.
I've said for a long time, the thing that they've got to focus on, Google's starting to do it with their phones, is longer battery life.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole problem, folks. They can add all these features. It, one, drains battery life like crazy. They demand more out of it, which is more power. And, you know, especially if you're then watching a movie or a TV show. That's sucking the battery life out faster than you can whistle. So that's what they've got to focus on. Even though it's a few millimeters thicker, oh, well, you can live with that if you're going to be able to use it more.
Yeah, my daughter is now a TikToker. She did her first live, and it was about a 2-hour event. And it really... drained my battery. Next time, yep. I'll watch on the computer. You know, I had topped up my phone just in mm-hmm. case, and yeah, it drained me way down in 2 hours. But that's the big thing right now. I wouldn't mind a thicker phone with a bigger battery life mm-hmm. in it, and that's the thing that most people I think would find excellent. You know, to not have to worry about that recharge.
Yeah, where am I going to, quick, get in there? My battery's low. Number of folks, I got to find a charging station, but I'm just about out of battery life.
Yep. Well, and that's, whether you're talking about electric cars or phones or mm-hmm. your tablet or your laptop, it's the battery that is the limiting technology in them these
days. The key thing there is, I agree, you know, we got to, like I've been saying, have longer battery life. But the other twist around that, it's got to be faster. When you're going to recharge, it's got to be able to recharge faster.
Recharge, yes.
Faster recharge and longer battery life.
One of the tricks that I've found is if you know you're going to be at some place for a long time with no charger, put your phone in low power mode first.
Yep.
When it gets low, it will go into low power mode for you. But put it first, it cuts down on how often it checks for your email, because you probably don't need to do that. It cuts down on looking for cell towers. If you're in a place where there's fewer cell coverage, the power ramps up to try to find a signal. Cut that down. So you put your low power mode first, and it'll probably last day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go out to fly.
Yeah.
You don't have a cell tower there. You don't have any of that stuff.
Yeah, next weekend I'm going to the NEAT Fair, the Northeast Electric Aircraft Technology Fair.
Will you be, is that on Saturday?
Yeah, so Dennis.
Dennis, if you're listening.
Hopefully he's got my email by now.
Okay.
And one thing that says, so it's in the Peaceful Valley in the Catskills, so between two mountains. There's very little cell coverage. And so one of the jokes is you don't need to bring your charger because you can't make a call anyway.
Yeah.
But you might use it for your camera.
Oh yeah,
I got to bring my better camera too, so I have enough. Got to make sure I have. I've got three batteries for that, and that's usually enough for a 2 or 3 day event.
Yeah,
but that's assuming I can recharge at the hotel at night. We don't have hotels.
It's
on a campground, and there's a full scale grass runway, and so we take over that runway for the model aircraft. In fact, because it's a full-scale runway, I think it's 7,000 feet, something like that. There's one section for warbirds. There's one section for control line. There's one section for ultralights. And so it's so long, you're not going to run into each other for all the different types of planes. And then there's a lake on the other side where you can do float flying.
Or emergency ditching.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
If a plane crashes on the U.S.-Canada border, where are the survivors buried?
I know this one. The correct answer, of course, is wherever they eventually die.
Yeah. Survivors genuinely aren't buried at the time.
Right. We have new technology coming out all the time, but most of it is internal. Until we get those transparent phones and pull out the...
Yeah. The one, remember, it was going to be on your wrist.
On your wrist. The cricket.
You tapped it?
Cricket. It was a scam. It was not real.
Yeah, but that was cool. The concept.
Is great.
Well, look at, they thought Dick Tracy phones were in their day.
We're almost there.
Yes.
Yep. We can Skype? Be there. You can get it.
I was, yeah. Here comes a commercial. I was watching a movie on General Magic. In the early 90s? That's music.
All right, then hold on.
Hold that, yeah.
We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Now, how does polka music equate to the jazz scene?
Same way computers do.
Exactly. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
I just find his music selection and the person that he's equating to.
He's having fun. Let him have fun. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. While I read this, a bad Microsoft Defender signature update.
Oops.
Yeah, there's a surprise. There's a surprising number of words to put together. Mistakenly detects Google Chrome, Microsoft Edge, Discord, and other Electron apps as Win32 Hive.zy problems as each time the apps are opened in Windows. The issue started Sunday morning when Microsoft pushed out Defender Signature Update 1.373.1508.0 to include two new threat detections, including the Win32 or Hive.zy. The false positive is widespread, with users reporting that detections appear each time they open their browser or any Electron app. Even though Microsoft Defender will continuously display these detections when apps are open, it is important to note that this is a false positive, and your device is mistakenly being detected as infected. Not your device, your app. Microsoft released two new Microsoft Defender security updates. Sadly, users continued to report that they continue to receive false positives even after these two updates. It may be helpful to reboot Windows after installing the new security intelligence update to see if it resolves the false positive. Alternately, do you have a sledgehammer? As this issue was causing panic among Windows users worldwide, a third update was quickly issued. That update appears to resolve the issue. Microsoft can get it in three.
The next update will break it again.
It's got to be in threes.
Yeah. Every Windows user is urged to make sure they're up to date. Microsoft shared the following statement. We have released an update to address this issue, and customers using automatic updates for Microsoft Defender do not need to take any additional action. Of course, enterprise customers managing their own updates should ensure they are using Detection Build 1.373.1537.0 or newer. Are you getting false positives? Make sure you're up to date, and then give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
And it's especially bad because Windows Defender is something you want to update immediately.
Yeah.
Normally with other updates, you say wait a week or two, let other people find the problems.
Right.
But antivirus, anti-malware?
That's why we've always said use Super Anti-Spyware or Malware Bytes.
And then some other... On demand, always working program, because those unless you pay for them, they're on demand.
The thing of it is, and why we recommend those other programs is because that's what they do. Microsoft is trying to still be everything to everybody, doing anything and everything.
Right.
And I'm sorry, again, we don't hate Microsoft. It's just the lack of, you know, focusing on what they do and doing it right and not using customers as a beta tester and putting their machines in jeopardy. I just this past week on one of my machines was doing an update to a software package. And of course, Windows said, oh, well, since you're going to restart, we're putting in this update. Okay, what am I going to do?
Yeah, right.
So I let it do it. Comes back up, you know, and it sits there in the screen. Don't restart your machine because we're doing these critical updates to improve your performance.
Is it still doing?
You wouldn't want to be around when I finally had to shut the thing off and it went to reboot. And the screen came up to, you know, log in, goes in, and you know how you get the nice blue screen and then your toolbar down the bottom?
Yeah.
It just kept flashing it. on both monitors.
Nice.
It had hosed my machine. So I got to spend last weekend formatting the drive and putting that stupid Windows back on.
Yep.
Just because of one of their updates, and they wonder why we get upset.
Right. I updated this machine to Ubuntu 22.04, Xubuntu 22.04 this week. And it took a while because you're updating everything.
The whole OS.
But it went great. It just, it went, I did not, but I could have continued to work in the background. That would have not been a problem. At one point, I stupidly started it downstairs, and I needed to get upstairs to be in a Mastermind Lounge video conference. And so I just unplugged it, took the whole thing up with me because it was a laptop, left it sitting there.
Doing its thing?
And it came back up, and it's fine. Not a problem. And like I said, I could have been using it in the background. I could have been using it while it was upgrading in the background. The only thing if for example, it upgrades Chrome, the web browser, then you have to shut down Chrome so it can do the upgrade. Well, that's fair. You know, it's trying to upgrade a running program. That often doesn't work. But, you know, if it wasn't upgrading, for example, LibreOffice, I could use LibreOffice.
Mm-hmm.
You can just continue to use it while it works, and then all you have to do is reboot. So it's really that simple, and it came right back up without a single problem. I had a couple of new little features that were interesting, but other than that, it was the same.
Originally, when I got this box, you know, Windows never saw daylight on that one. It wound up going right into Ubuntu and Xubuntu. But I still... That's why I'm wondering whether I should just wipe it and start again, because I do get a systems error. And it says, do you want us to report? And I go, yeah.
And then, do you know what it's an error about?
Nope.
You can hit detail and it will tell you.
I'll take a screenshot of it and maybe you can help me with it.
Yeah, happy to. Happy to. That's what we do here, you know. So you can give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415, and we will be happy to answer your questions as we hurtle headlong into our next year. Last week we had our 33rd birthday, and consequently we had a great time, and now we're on the second week of our 34th year on the air, and so we'll go to our first caller, and that would be Tom from Brighton, New York. Hi, Tom, what's up?
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Just a quick follow-up on your discussion on the iPhone, the upgrade. So I'm sure that's a great upgrade. It's, what is it, the 14 now, and I have a 13 that I got last year, which I'm pretty happy. I actually have a 13 mini. And that's the thing that I really prefer about it. I mean, I understand some people want a larger phone. That's fine. But some of us want to carry our phones, sometimes even in my shirt pocket, which is very convenient.
Yeah.
But even if you put a regular-sized iPhone, whether it's a 13 or a 14, you put it in your trouser pocket, it's too big. Let's face it. Aren't there enough people out there who similarly want a mini and can use it for its portability? And it has excellent battery life. I've never run out of battery life in the whole year that I don't have this phone now.
That is one change they made this year. They discontinued there isn't a 14 mini. You still can buy the 13 mini, which is still available. But for people who want the smaller phone, they still sell the SE, now in its third generation, with an A15 processor in it. So it's a physically smaller phone, but it's still pretty modern on the inside. It's the 15, not the 16. That the actually, what's weird is the iPhone 14 uses the A15 processor. The 14 Pro uses the 16.
Yeah.
So the SE can still be considered a 13 or 14 because it uses the 15 processor.
Right.
Just to get confusing. But yeah. Yeah. So the SE is the smaller one. Also, and the SE is the least expensive model too. $399. Well, it's tricky now. $399 from a carrier, $429 if you buy it unlocked from Apple.
Right.
The big thing, they keep following this path. If they go along this path, it's clear that they will eventually lean toward eliminating the mini.
Well, that's why they brought back the SE a few years ago. They started going with these bigger and bigger phones, and there were enough people that were still asking for a smaller phone. They brought back the SE, first generation then, as the smaller phone.
The big reason, Tom, is that many young people, their main device is their phone.
Yeah.
So they watch television on it, they play games on it, they do FaceTime with 15 friends on it, and so they want a bigger phone.
Bigger
and
screen.
Let's face it, they spend more money than us older folks.
Yeah.
So the phones tend to go big. Now, that's one of the reasons that so many companies are looking at folding phones.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small enough device, even though it's thick now when you fold it. It's still a small enough device that you can fit it in a pocket and carry it around more easily. But when you open it up, it's big. The problem is that's a very new technology. My daughter has the Samsung Flip, I think it's called. And it's great. But really, that's the first one I've seen that didn't have a big crease in it.
And I think it's the third generation of them
now. It's the third generation.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the big crease, and it doesn't have, when you open it, the old ones got grit in them, and they were horrible. This one, she's had it for quite a while, and it opens great.
So they're long, and they flip up?
No, they're a flip phone.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Like sandwich.
They flip on the short side.
Okay.
So you get a 6.5-inch phone when it opens, but when it's closed, it's a 3-inch phone.
Yeah, easy to carry.
Easy to carry.
Okay.
Well, these technologies are great, of course. Like I said, the folding phone, and there'll be future phones, perhaps, where you can pull on it, and the screen will kind of fold out. There's a number of new technologies we know are coming, but they're not here yet.
Right.
Meanwhile, we have to live now in real time with what we have. And I'm just amazed that there aren't more people. I can't be one of a small minority of people who prefer this format for a
phone. No, you're not, and that's why most of the companies still do make a smaller phone with the current technologies in it.
Right. Enough people are buying them, they'll keep making them, but it's not their moneymaker, so you're rarely going to get the newest, best, greatest of anything. It's their budget line, and it's a small phone.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I get it, Tom. I completely agree with you. Not everybody needs a... Now, there are those of us who prefer a big phone because our eyes are older than they used to be.
Yep.
But...
and their arms aren't long enough.
Exactly. But you're right. There are a lot of people who prefer a smaller phone. Mainly, frankly, us older folks who don't use our phone for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really... The phone I have is... I could do a smaller phone because I don't use it for watching television or, surfing the web often or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I use it for, God forbid, phone calls and texting.
I found a chart from a company called Statisticia.
Okay.
And March of 21 is the most recent data they have. The iPhone 12 mini was 4% of the iPhone market. The SE, which is a little bit bigger physically phone, is 6% of the market. And then you go to the bigger phones. The Pro Max, which is the biggest phone, was 15%. And the regular phone and the Pro phone were 20% each to add up to 100%.
Yeah,
so of the smaller phones, it's only 10% of the purchasers wanted a smaller phone. 80% or 90% now are getting the bigger phone.
Right, and if you're a business, you're going to put your work into the 90%ers, not the 10%ers.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but that's where we stand, Tom.
The profit talks.
I have a follow-up question if I can get it in.
Yeah.
Related to the phone. So I've got the 13. It works just fine. But when I'm scrolling a long list of items on the screen, for instance, email or text messages, and I'm scrolling up, suddenly the list will shift downward by like 10 or so items. Is that something that you recognize what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's happening?
There's an ad displaying at the top of the column. Which moves everything down, and then when the ad goes away, everything moves back up again.
I don't see an ad on my phone when this is happening.
No, it's at the very top of the column that you've already scrolled off of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's off screen.
It's off screen, right. But it pushes everything else down while that shows. So I'll run into that, so I'll swipe back a little bit to get to where I was on the list, and then the ad goes away, and everything moves back up again, and then I got to swipe down to get back where I was.
Right.
So I try to do a lot more in reader mode that tries to cut out all the ads.
Yeah, I'll look for that. Thanks.
And there are other browsers that cut out ads.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Brave tries to do that. The DuckDuckGo browser tries to do that.
Yeah.
So there are other browsers.
A lot of times by stripping out all the tracking information, it stops a lot of that stuff from happening.
Right, right. I've been playing with the Brave browser and the DuckDuckGo browsers on my desktop, and I'm quite astounded. And of course, I'm using uBlock Origin on Chrome, and that cuts out an awful lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
an awful lot of stuff. So I see many fewer ads than most people do, and I see and I find that makes my experience on the web much nicer, quite honestly. And, you know, I realize the hypocrisy of that. I ask people to donate to Ask Nick and to the Soundbites website, and I work with a company that uses Facebook ads and a couple of other things to get people to their site. But, you know, it's you know, do what I say, not what I do, I guess.
Well, part of the problem is I don't mind ads. I mind the obnoxious ads and the ones that pop in and out, or the ones that follow you down the page as you try to scroll, the ones that cover the page
right.
as you're trying to read, or the ads that track you. But my biggest pet peeve is stop showing me ads for something I already bought.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
Because most of those ads are coming from Amazon and Google. You know I bought it.
Right. And the ones
especially
I really
if it's a lower
hate,
price.
Yeah. And the ones I really hate are when I am scrolling on my phone, the video ads.
Mm-hmm.
You are using my data. Mm-hmm. Now, I have unlimited data, but you don't know that.
A lot of folks don't.
And a lot of folks don't. And you are using my data to show me an ad. I think not.
Right.
I think not. I will never buy that product.
Oh,
I don't care what it is. I will never buy that product.
Yep.
But
now there's add-ons that will stop autoplay from those autoplay videos, and then the advertisers are working their way around those
right.
stopping things.
I hate those on
it's
YouTube.
It's a cat and mouse.
Yep.
All the TD ads that they throw in a YouTube. Like if I'm
there is a program you should run. It's an add-on to Chrome, at least, I know, called Sponsor Block. And what it does is it's a crowdsourced anti-ad thing. So if you're the first person to see a video, you'll see the ad.
It's also available for Edge and Firefox.
Good. And
Sponsor
but what
Block?
Yeah, it's called Sponsor Block. And what it does is as more people see the ad, they say, oh, the ad starts here and it ends here. So when enough people have said that, Sponsor Block blocks the ad,
mm-hmm.
skips it. You could go back into it. You could, you know, back.
Yeah, no, because I'm watching, you know, these, there's a number of podcasts I watch. You know, they're done on YouTube.
And
throughout the whole thing, all of a sudden, you know, you're getting all these stupid commercials and ads, and it's like,
The ones that are part of the podcast you'll probably have to keep, but the ones that are in the interstitials that YouTube itself puts in, those are what Sponsor Block blocks.
And they always cut right in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah,
you'd think the algorithm would be easy enough to look for a dead air for you know a second or two to notice between sentences or something, but right in the middle of a word, in the middle of a sentence, they'll go to a commercial.
Yep.
So did we answer your question, Tom?
I think Tom, you there? I think he hung up.
Yeah.
Either we answered his question or he got. Oh, before we forget, for those of you who only listen to the first hour, we should talk about Wednesday. This coming Wednesday, Apple Cider will have a brilliant we all hope, presentation by me talking about how you can turn an old laptop into a Chromebook using Chrome OS Flex. And Steve?
Yes, the meeting will be held in person. Our first in-person meeting for about 2.5 years now.
2.5 years. Very exciting.
And it will be held at the Irondequoit United Church of Christ, 644 Titus Avenue near Hudson, across from House of Guitars.
Very nice.
That's the landmark for that area.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be at 7 o'clock. We are also still going to be streaming on Zoom and YouTube. So if you're out of the area or still don't feel comfortable seeing people in person, I know a lot of us got used to not needing to see people.
Right, right.
People are terrible.
People are terrible. But that they're live will allow me to set up 3 different machines, if Steve remembers to bring me a power cord. 3, because I had to give my daughter hers back. 3 different machines, all running Chrome OS Flex. They will all be Macs. Intel, obviously, Intel-based Macs. But this Chrome OS Flex works on any old computer, and it allows you to take a computer that you can't run the latest operating system on, so it's out of date and unsecured and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and turn it into a Chromebook. And honestly, I know there's always edge people, and they get really angry when I don't include them. But for 99% of everybody, a Chromebook, at least as a second computer, is a brilliant way to use an old device.
Yeah.
And so we'll be talking about how to install it and what it does and how well it works. And, you know, obviously, if you've got a very old, very slow machine.
Put it through its paces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how long does the install take? Maybe leave one to be installing while you're showing the other two.
I will do that very thing.
Nice. Sorry to steal your thunder.
No, that's absolutely fine. That's exactly what I'm planning to do. Yeah. The third one that you gave me, that one I purposely have not touched.
Good.
So we'll start
it
up.
So you can see how easy it is and how long it doesn't take.
That's exactly. Well, that speed entirely counts on 3 things. One is the speed of your USB, and I'm running it off of USB 1, so it's not going to be fast. And the speed of your internet connection when you do updates, because it's going to want to update. And the speed of your processor. So, you know, taking those 3 things into account, an i5 is going to be much faster than an i3, and certainly much faster than a Core 2. So, you know, you have to
be patient.
Understand that, but certainly neither one of the machines I already did. One was a 2009, and the other was a 2000. I think.
Well,
15.
Especially you know if you can
neither
show.
Neither one took a long time.
You know the getting it set up and then going through it while that's doing that, being able, like you say, having another machine to show and answer people's questions.
That's exactly right. Because
that's going to be the crux of it. Because a lot of it, it's waiting.
Right.
And putting in any operating system, as everybody knows, whether it's a Mac or a PC, you know, there's the wait time.
Right. And I will be showing you how to create the USB drive so you'll be able to make your own when you get home, as long as you have, I guess you just need the Chrome browser, which is free, so don't get excited.
You can get more information at applecider.org.
Applecider.org. Does Cider still have the periods in it? Not on the URL, of course, but...
That was a heated debate, and we decided to remove the periods.
Oh, the periods. Okay, then I've completely done this wrong.
It was an acronym.
It was an acronym. Now it's just a word.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a slightly longer break. The first hour of this show is done, but we'll be back for a whole nother hour with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 59 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you, because with your generous support, we remain solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbite.
We've had a couple of comments in the YouTube chat. Archanda is saying, just say no to Microsoft. You use Linux.
Yep.
Linux sometimes has update problems, but not as often as Microsoft.
Right.
And then View 52 says, I've never heard of one person having so many problems with Windows. It may not be one person having all these problems, but enough people are having problems that it's very annoying.
Well, mm-hmm. When you've got 90% of the market, which yeah. I think they're down to 80% now. Okay, you've got 80% of the market. Even one out of 10,000 people is a lot of people.
Yep.
And many of them are in businesses. You know, we tend to forget. You know, there are people who run their entire businesses mm-hmm. off of Windows. And when that screws up, you've got a serious issue. Remember, and I'm going to say this before I say anything else. Anytime you do an update, you'd better make sure you've got two good backups. Mm-hmm. Before you
Amen
do anything.
And not just backup the application, backup your documents.
Back up your
that's
data.
I don't know that's how many times thing.
People have said, I ask them, where did you save that file? Oh, it's in Word. What folder did you put it in? I put it in Word.
Yeah.
No, on the hard drive. I put it in Word. Let's go search for it. Do you know what the name of it was? No, it's in my recent list. Not anymore.
Right.
Because your computer died.
Right. Be aware is all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
Back up. And at least one of those backups should be off-site.
Yep.
And at least one other of those backups should be on and not your computer device.
And yep. The one thing that I always tell folks, and I have for decades, is don't worry about the programs. Those you're going to have to reinstall anyways.
Right.
It's always your documents, your photos. Photos especially, folks. Documents you can recreate. Photos, once they're gone, and there ain't no bringing them back.
That's right. So you should have multiple backups.
The number of folks that I'm sure Steve has run into the same thing. People are just so heartstrucken when, you know, all these great pictures that they had of their great-grandmother and all these other folks that have been around for so long, and nobody took the time to back them up and save them, preserve them for history. And all of a sudden the hard drive goes, they're gone.
They're gone.
Every moment you can't recreate.
It takes an hour to set up and do your first backup, mm-hmm. and then you can automate it so you never have to think about it again.
And they're off-site, and they're protected.
Yep. And it takes, and in fact, if you do your off-site backups with either Google Photos or Amazon Photos, you know, those of you who are already paying for Amazon Prime have a free
Free for now. Included service
where you can store all of your pictures on Amazon Photos at no additional cost. Why are you not taking advantage of that? For heaven's sakes, do it today. All right. While you're doing that, here's our next news item.
Not berating. It's just making people aware and wise up to the fact that, you know, they're electronic devices. They're going to fail. There's no getting around it. There's just going to be that one day you go to turn it on, and just like your car with a dead battery, it ain't starting, and you ain't going nowhere.
One of my backups is to a Raspberry Pi with a 1 terabyte hard drive, spinning hard drive that I took out of an old machine. Well, guess what? That hard drive died the other day. It now makes a nice little click.
Yep. Sometimes you get notice when your machines are going to die.
And sometimes you don't.
Yeah, most of the time you don't.
So, and it annoyed me, but it didn't upset me because that's my fourth backup.
Mm-hmm.
So until I pull another hard drive out and move everything over to it, I've only got three other backups. And I'm talking backups, not even the stuff on my original hard drives.
Yeah.
It's backups.
Yep.
So, and where I'm lucky, where I'm really lucky, is that drive used to be the one that was running my main machine. I replaced it with an SSD.
You are lucky then.
And now mm-hmm. that one died. And if it had died and it was my only machine and I had no backups, I would be done.
There's no hard and fast rule about how long a drive will last, but companies like Google and Backblaze that use literally hundreds of thousands of drives a year, they both show spinning drives and SSDs, too.
Yep,
they
yep.
fail differently. Just because there's no moving parts doesn't mean they can't fail.
Right.
On average, a drive has about a 20% per year failure rate. So in the first year, there's a 20% chance that it will fail. In the second year, there's a 40% chance that it will fail.
Right.
By the fifth year, there's a 100% chance that it will fail, and you right. should have replaced it last year.
Mean time between failures is 3.5 years, I think,
mm-hmm.
if you look at it statistically.
Right.
That
means one lasted a week and one lasted 20 years.
That's exactly what that means.
Yeah.
Or one was dead out of the box.
Yeah, we used to get that in the shop.
Sure.
I can remember there for a while, Seagate. We were running into big issues. We had a batch of drives. I think out of 20 drives that we ordered, half of them were dead right out of the box. And a couple more we got Windows on them and that, went to restart them, and they died.
Yep. I've seen it more times than I care to. I will say this. One of the things I really, really like about Linux is that you can, with one command, grab a list of every installed piece of software. Save it off to a file somewhere. So if I need to recreate that drive, I can just read that file back in and say, that's my software. Go install it.
Mm-hmm.
And it all gets installed.
Which command?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
I have it in my head.
Oh, yeah.
It's a depackage command, but I don't remember it off the top of my head. But the point is, that makes it easy to clone a machine. It makes it really easy to clone a machine. I mean, obviously, it still takes time to install all that software, but you don't have to do anything.
Well, the reason I'm asking that is, and folks might want, we've been talking about Raspberry Pis now for a couple of years. And, you know, as everybody knows, there's a big chip shortage. And I happened to, Nick was the one that made me aware of, oh, yeah, they're really backordered.
Really backordered.
So I went ahead and put it in. I saw that you could pre-order one now, and I'd get it in October. Okay. Well, all of a sudden, 2 days ago, I get a notice. Oh, your kit's on its way.
Nice.
And I'm thinking, sweet. Because I've already got two Raspberry Pi 4s going, but what I want to do, they're running ARM. And it's a version of Windows for folks that don't know. And it looks a lot like Windows. Well, I'm moving away from Windows. So with this third Raspberry Pi now, 4, I'm going to just put Xubuntu on it, set all the programs up that I want on it, and then slowly go to the other two and convert them to all Xubuntu. And it'd be great to have a program like that I do the install once, set everything up, and have it be able to clone it on the other two. And yep. just have it go.
So right now at Canakit, the Raspberry Pi Pi 4 Extreme kits are saying December.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is
end of December.
This is an 8 megger.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8 meg.
8 gig.
8 gig. I don't want to say meg.
You always do that.
I know. Whoa. I don't know.
Meg used to be a lot.
Yeah. Back in the day, that's where I'm stuck.
Now, if he gets farther away from Windows, we're going to have to get another guy here to do Windows.
That's right.
No, because there won't be anybody doing Windows.
I just shared a Google Keep thing that talks about how to create the list. And how
okay.
To,
all right. Thank you.
Do the list, and I sent it to your... David Chaz 901.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
So there's that. In the meantime, I will read the news. You will give us a call, 585 866-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And vote in the poll, for heaven's sake. Okay, the Brazilian government has suspended the sales of iPhones without chargers. The new iPhones don't have chargers, do they?
Comes with a charging cable, but not a charger.
Right. Apple is also facing $12,275,000 fine. That's British. That's Brazilian dollars.
Coin.
That's about $2.3 million in real money from Brazil's Ministry of Justice and Public Security. This is on top of a reported $2 million fine Apple incurred in 2021 after announcing its first smartphone to ship without a power adapter in the box, the iPhone 12 series. Apple can appeal Brazil's decision. The ministry also ordered the iPhone 12's registration with Anatel, Brazil's national telecoms agency, to be canceled. In 2021, the Consumer Protection Agency of the Brazilian state of Sao Paulo fined Apple $2 million over the iPhone 12. It said Apple sold what the country considers to be an incomplete product. Since then, Apple hasn't worked to minimize the damage and continues to sell cell phones without chargers, according to the ministry. Samsung faced similar consequences from the Brazilian government, but reportedly decided to provide free chargers to customers in Brazil who bought its new smartphones that had been shipped without a power adapter. If it persists in the infractions, Apple may be considered a repeat offender with the application of new, even more severe punishments, the ministry said in its announcement. And you're welcome that I didn't try to read that in a Brazilian accent. I have a Brazilian accent. The Brazilian government said that Apple only shifted the burden of extra purchases to the consumer, which is exactly true. Finally, Brazil's federal ministry noted that dropping chargers from iPhone boxes didn't reduce prices, which we all noticed. Trust me. Therefore, it is understood that the price is mainly determined by commercial strategy instead of corresponding to production costs, the announcement said. We'll see what happens next, since the new iPhone 14s also don't come with chargers. So do you resent having to buy your own charger? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
How much can it chuck? That charger isn't much.
Well, it depends on how many watts you want. The 5-watt chargers are $20, but the you get a higher wattage one that can charge it faster, it's more. They also stopped including the headphones several years ago, but
right.
No one really cared about that because no one uses them much anymore.
I do.
But please,
I still do.
Please stop using a speakerphone when you're in the public. I don't want to hear your conversation.
You know why people do that? Because they do it on television.
Yeah.
They do it on television so you can hear both sides of the conversation. Guess what? I don't care about your conversation, and I don't want to hear either side of it, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know, get a cone of silence. Apple. I don't want to hear you.
Apple has said they removed the charging brick for environmental concerns because...
That's nonsense.
Maybe a little
bit of
truth.
It's nonsense. They still have to have one, whether they provide it or you provide it.
Well, because so many people are upgrading from an old phone, they already have one.
And if they do anything with that old phone, that old charger has to go with it, doesn't it?
Not always.
What?
Well, no. If you trade in your phone, if you include the charger, you get another $5, $10, something like that. If you don't include the charger, you know, you keep it for your next one. What usually happens is that you've already lost your charger two or three times, and so you go buy another one, then you find the first one.
Yeah.
And then you
yeah.
lose it again, you buy a third one, then you find the second one.
I do admit I've got a little box full of chargers.
Yeah.
But they're all different wattages.
Yeah.
So Apple does say on their website that we do encourage you to reuse your current cable and charger, which are compatible with the new phones. That was the other surprise. It's still Lightning on the phone. They didn't go to USB-C. They did go to USB-C on the charging cable. So if you have a USB-A charger from your old phone, it won't work. So you still have to use your old cable and your old charger.
Or
you buy a new USB-C charger.
Or you
plug
it
into your computer to charge it.
Right. They also make USB-A to USB-C
adapter cables. Yeah. In fact, I'm using two of them right now.
Yeah. There you go.
Actually, I'm using, I got two stubby ones and one big one.
Yep.
Because more and more things are starting to come with USB-C cables, but not fast enough.
Yep. And I actually have a USB drive. That has two connectors, one on each side. You can split it either way. Yeah, those are still USB-A.
But on the other end, some of them will have a C.
I have a C.
I saw one that was kind of neat where you folded it back And it was a C inside the A, and I wasn't quite sure how that worked because the pin sizes are different.
Right, but if the A plugs into the C.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's one of the things. And the European Union is angry.
Yep.
With Apple because they don't have USB-C.
Well, and the EU just they changed their mandate.
Right.
Phones now have to have a USB-C charger. Previously it was a micro-B charger because there's micro-B, there's mini-B, there's super-B, which is the two connectors on one B.
There's Samantha-B.
Samantha-B, yeah. And then so they standardized on C now, sorry. So when D comes out, we'll have to change the standard again.
Right.
And Apple got around that for a while by including a Lightning to micro-B connector. So now they're including a Lightning to USB-C connector, but not the charger.
Right.
And so good salesman will warn you about that. Use your old charger or you can buy a new higher wattage charger to charge your phone faster.
Right.
We'll often see people will get their phone charger and their tablet charger mixed up. And then their tablet charges really, really slow, but their phone charges really fast.
Right. I have a USB-C 30-watt adapter for a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
I almost plugged it into my phone the other day, and I really don't know what it would do. 30 watts? Probably just charge it fast.
Well, you've got a Google brand, right?
Yeah.
The name brand phones are usually good enough to have a circuit where it doesn't draw more than it needs. But the cheap no-name phones might have tried to pull the 30 watts and melted the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, blown the circuitry inside.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I said, I didn't try it, and I didn't look up whether or not I could.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's usually, it's a Pixel 5a,
mm-hmm.
so it's a fairly high-end phone comparatively. And therefore, it probably would have worked fine. And I just would have heard the whoosh of electrons charging my phone quickly.
That magic smoke came out of it.
Yeah, man.
Got a 67-watt charger for my computer. They make a 97-watt one. And there's an airplane regulation from the FAA that you can't have more than a 100-watt-hour battery on a plane, period.
Right.
So a lot of the new computers have a 97, 98 watt-hour battery in it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to take your computer on the plane, not even checked. Mm-hmm. If it's more than 100 watt-hours, it cannot go on an airplane.
And it amuses me that you can have 97 watt-hour battery in a computer and a 65 watt-hour battery in your car.
Mm-hmm.
In your electric car.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that just amuses me.
Yeah,
plus we do the same thing in the airplanes. I've got a 50 watt hour battery for my airplane, and it lasts 5 minutes.
Yeah,
in your laptop it lasts 8 hours, and in your car it lasts 200 miles.
Right, right. It's our biggest failure as technologists is batteries. The battery technology has simply not kept up with everything else.
If you want to make a fortune, become a material scientist and come up with the next big battery technology.
That's exactly
well,
right.
That's where
solid capacitance is promising instead of the liquid capacitance we have now.
And
but trying to get away from lithium, period.
Well, and they're now looking at sand. I saved the article. I haven't read it yet, but the thing says using sand instead of lithium in a battery. Although we are running out of sand, and I know that's a stupid thing to say, but not all sand is identical.
Sand can store heat very well.
Right.
And so you can pump heat into, if you ever charging your phone, charging your computer, that AC adapter gets pretty warm.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
That's loss of efficiency.
Yes.
It's the electricity is turning into heat, which is bad. But you pump that heat into sand and then pull the heat out of the sand, turn it back into electricity. Sure. That might work.
That might work.
Especially on, they're doing it in Finland. So they have a coast and they have a lot of sand and you can do solar panels and wind turbines. So right now the big problem with electricity distribution is it's generated on demand. The power plants generate electricity and feed it down the wires. There's no batteries in between.
Right.
To store the electricity, and so there's always problems on hot days when everyone in the town turns on their air conditioner first thing in the morning when they get up, and then the lights dim across the town.
Mm-hmm.
If we had better storage technologies to store that power, we could make it when it's cheap. I'll make it at night when we don't have a high demand and use the leftover. So that's why you see a lot of home solar installations also include batteries.
So, big batteries.
Bank of batteries.
Yeah. So the energy that's generated is stored until you actually need it.
Well, that's where they were also looking. I saw because of the materials that, with these new solar panels, and they're so flexible and everything else, like with the new electronic buses and cars, they're looking at incorporating solar panels into the roofs.
Mm-hmm.
So as they're driving along and it's draining from the battery, they have a regulator that then is grabbing the sunlight and refeeding the energy back into the battery pack. So, you know, they're saving on costs there, too, because, you know, they don't have to take it back and hook it up and run up an electric bill. They're using the natural energy from the sun as these buses and cars are driving along, and it would also help reduce on recharging stations.
And especially while you're parked. So you drive to work, you park all day, you drive home. Your car can be charging all day long.
Yeah.
There's kind of a catch-22 that the weight of the solar panel reduces the range of the battery. So eventually the solar panel's too big to actually give
you a
positive
effect. Solar panels now,
they're
so flexible.
There is a new car from a company called Sono Motors. It's called the Sion, S-I-O-N. And every surface is covered.
With solar panels?
With solar panels.
Cool.
They're aftermarket ones you can put on your current car, too.
Right. And this thing, they say that if you leave it out, you know, again, as Steve said, you drive it to work.
Yeah.
It sits all day. You drive home. They said it can add about 100 miles a month, I think it was, to the range of the car.
Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Free energy.
Well, exactly. And if you're one of those people who only drives, you know, 20 miles a day.
Yep. Yeah, you drive to work. It sits there till you come home, and you drive it back home.
So you drive it tops up. You drive it home, it tops up.
And solar and wind are nice, but right now, still most of the electricity is being made by coal-fired power plants.
Right.
So they're getting more efficient. And what, California just passed a law that new cars by 2025 cannot be internal combustions. They must be alternative fuels. But someone has to make that electricity using coal or nuclear.
Right.
And so we need to have more efficient ways of burning what we've got and not wasting so much as heat.
Right.
And so it's not fair to vilify, you know, the oil industry either.
Yeah.
Well, a friend of mine lives in the middle of nowhere, and he put up a solar farm.
Yeah.
And he's really kind of porky about it. He says, I got to double the size because I can either charge my wife's car or run my house. Says I cannot do both simultaneously. I said, "Yeah, okay."
That's predictable.
The company behind our building sells wind turbines, and the story is that if you generate more electricity than you need, you can sell it back to the local power company. But apparently, something happened in our lovely New York State that, if you're not connected to the electric grid, you still have to pay
an
connection fee.
You're right. If you don't use any electricity from the grid, you still have to pay a grid fee.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't sell everything back to the power company. You still have to pay a grid. So going off the grid is getting harder and harder to do.
At least in New York State, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're always looking for different ways to, you know, charge it back to you.
You get a tax incentive for buying an electric car, but then if you get a solar panel and wind turbine...
Yeah, it depends on the car. Yeah. For example, the Chevy Bolt EV or EUV are no longer eligible for that.
Because
they've sold so many of them that they're just no longer eligible.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's $7,500, I think. But that's a $7,500 tax credit.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a $7,500 bill every year, you lose that money. It's not, you don't get that money.
Yeah.
You just don't pay that money. So it depends on the person. It depends on the car. It depends on all kinds of things. So we'll see. All right, listen, we're going to take another break. But we'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with all of you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on the truly great, and again, truly grateful to you that we can continue to be solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in a few.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And I want to thank Painting Polish, or Painting Polish. I don't know which that is. I apologize. Thank you for the happy birthday wishes in the Twitch stream. It is my birthday.
72.
I'm 72 years old. Happy to be that way. There are at least four times in my life when I almost died, and so every day is a gift from God, and I am delighted to say I've had 72 years of them.
Twice for me.
We also had a comment in the YouTube channel from View 52 talking about cell phones. Cell phone isn't really a phone anymore. It's a media consumption device.
Right.
And actually making phone calls on your phone is something that's kind of dying off.
Rarely
yeah,
done.
With the younger generation, yeah.
I'll tell you what, the web, for example, is now phone first. If you don't design your website to be readable on a phone, you lose a huge percentage of your users.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, you know, the phone, like you say, most folks have done away, one, with their phones at home. And the other big thing is the postal service. Most folks would, you know, sit there and take the time to write a letter out, handwrite,
right,
and put it in the mail, send it off to them, and they get it in a few days. Now everything is instant gratification. They quick do an email or a text, boom, from your phone, and it's sent, and you get a reply back, and people are worried if they don't get a reply within a few minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
We've lost business, and we almost don't mind, from someone who said, well, I emailed you 10 minutes ago, and you never answered me, so I bought it somewhere else. Oh, literally, 10 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instant gratification.
I have a person who calls me all the time and absolutely believes I'm sitting around doing nothing
waiting for
this call.
Absolutely. Why not?
Convinced of that.
You're not?
Shockingly, sometimes I am not. I'd say that sometimes it's 99.999% of the time. Yeah. All right. So if you're the kind of person who's always dropping your phone, first, get a grip on yourself and your phone. Secondly, AppleCare Plus may have just become a much better deal.
Yes.
The service now covers unlimited repairs for accidental damage protection.
Used to be two a year.
Two incidents of accidental damage protection every 12 months. Before you toss your phone in the air in celebration, though, do note that the service fees and deductibles are still around. A screen or back glass repair will cost $29, while other accidental damage, quote-unquote, will run you $99. Also, Apple's fine print clearly notes that the damage has to be caused by unexpected and unintentional events to fall under AppleCare Plus.
Yeah.
The service itself is, perhaps a bit surprisingly, still the same price, though that was a recurring theme during Apple's event on Wednesday. Getting it for a brand new iPhone 14 Pro will cost $9.99 a month. It's $10 for everybody else. Or $199, that's $200. For 2 years, the same price it used to cost to cover an iPhone 13 Pro. However, covering the iPhone 14 Plus does cost more than covering the regular iPhone 14 or the iPhone 13. It's $9 a month versus $8 a month, or an extra $30 if you buy the 2 year plan. The upgrade to the service isn't just for the new iPhone 14s. You can also get it for the 13 and the 12, as well as for the rest of Apple's lineup. Yes, this will also have you covered if you keep accidentally sending your AirPods through the wash, knock your iPad off the counter, break your watch in a fall, or sit on your MacBook Pro. It also applies to the Apple TV and the HomePod Mini. But I'm hard-pressed to imagine how you break a device that mostly just sits around the house. But if you do,
hey, stuff could happen.
You can get covered.
An animal could knock it off the...
That's right. And there's no word yet on whether people who had bought AppleCare Plus in the past, say when the iPhone 13 was first announced, would get unlimited repairs or would still be held to the twice-a-year limit. One final important thing to note, if you get AppleCare Plus with theft and loss protection, replacements for stolen and misplaced iPhones are still limited to two per year. You'll still get the unlimited repairs, but if you completely lose your iPhone more than twice a year, you'll be out of luck. Not that it sounds like you had much good fortune to begin with. So how clumsy are you? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
See, this is just another way, and a very good way, creative way, I should say, for folks to come to the iPhones.
Yep.
Because, as we've said before, there's not a lot of great features that they can add to the phone. So adding other surfaces like protection, because I've seen, matter of fact, I saw one kid, parent gave him a phone, and they're doing it, and all of a sudden they got upset and threw it down.
Yeah, you don't get a new phone, kid.
And all of a sudden started crying, and the parent just turned to him and said, well, you shouldn't have thrown it down.
That's right.
And they had to live with it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's like, no.
Actions have consequences, and if you don't teach your kids that, they grow up, never mind.
Don't have to say it any further.
Yep.
But this is the thing. You know, they've got to come up with more, both on the PCs, Android side, and on the Mac side, coming up with other creative things that draws them to their product. I'm not saying any particular one, just their product line and staying with it. And not moving off to another product line. Like we've seen a lot of people go from Windows PCs over now to Chromebooks.
Right.
Because Chromebooks solve and do everything that they need to have done. Because most folks would, you know, oh, I write a few documents, I do a few photos, and I surf the web a lot. Chromebook.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what we're finding is that people use their devices less than they think. Many people.
Yeah.
Not everybody. Again, the edge people are getting all excited. I do this and I do that. Okay, good for you. You're not everybody. Get over yourself.
You're hardly anybody.
You're hardly anybody. you'll find that there are a lot of the new... Well, okay, look at the new iPhone line, the new Apple line in general. You can tell they're really geared to the extreme outdoors people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a huge segment of the population.
But it's apparently someone who's been underserved.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. But if you're not one of those people, do you need an Apple Watch Ultra?
Probably not.
Probably not. Can you do with the what is it, the SE is the low line? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got
that dropped in price even.
And that dropped in price. My watch is a Tick Watch E2, which is not even the newest Tick Watch. And the Tick Watch is not a high-end brand to begin with. But you know what? It tells me the time. I can see all my notifications. I can do everything that I want to do. And it was used on Woot. So not used, refurbished. On Woot, so it was even cheaper than it normally would be. So, pare your expectations down to what your wallet can afford and be happy with what you need rather than... what the heck just happened there? That's not right. That's not right.
Uh-oh.
Okay. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is William, all the way from Hampton, PA.
Virginia.
Hampton, Virginia.
Virginia, you're right.
Yeah.
And I did have it right.
You had it right. I screwed up. How are you?
That's okay. I'm great. How are you guys?
Peachy. How are things down in Virginia? You don't know. You're in Pennsylvania. Well, I'm sorry.
He's got you all over.
How are things in Virginia?
Well, the heat has abated, but not the humidity. So we're still dealing with a little bit of stickiness. But other than that, I'm doing great.
Yeah,
you know, I want to put in my two cents and make my observation about the current topic. I'm currently repairing a digitizer on my old LG MP260 that I had for a long time. But as a rule, that is an exception to the rule. Most of my electronics ever since the first incident that I ever had with a smartphone, I baby them all, whether it's my laptop or my Android tab, my Walmart Android tablet, I baby all of them. Mm-hmm. When I get a new mobile device, I immediately go on eBay and order a case for it.
Yep.
But that's my two cents on the issue.
No, I completely agree with you.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. Have you got the ONN tablet?
Yes, the ONN.
Yeah, that's what I have. I love that.
I started seeing them with big screen TVs. No, it's a 65-inch TV for $499, you know, $100 less than everyone else.
This is this is a 7-inch tablet for $100.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. It does everything I needed to do. You're right, William. I did the same thing. Bought a case for it. Bought a case for my phone. I tell people all the time, if it's a device that's going to sit in your home, maybe you don't need any sort of insurance protection warranty extended thing for it. But if it's something you carry around, A, case it, and secondly, get that warranty, because you never know what's going to happen. And the more protected you are, the less you worry.
In the case of the LG, I don't know what happened, whether I inadvertently dropped it in some liquid or something, but I recently pulled it apart because the digitizer, evidently something happened to it where the bottom part of the screen, it looks wrinkled and everything.
Yeah.
And when I pulled it apart, there was some sticky residue. So I think what happened was I may have inadvertently spilled something on it. And
right.
It was working for a while, but then it started getting real sketchy, you know, the bottom of the screen did.
Yep.
So that's my little pet project for this weekend, replace the digitizer on that phone and try and get it running again.
Keep
nice.
A steady hand.
Yep.
That's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
No doubt. All right.
It's been a blast, guys.
Hey,
again.
Just remember what end of the soldering iron to hold.
Oh, that's not even necessary. I don't even need a soldering iron for this.
Oh, then you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely win. All right, thanks, William. Have fun.
Enjoy your day, guys. Bye.
You too. Bye bye. Yeah, we see it is still with a lot of the out of the mainstream phones and often the lesser cost phones. You can still pull them apart and do your own repairs. It's the high end, more expensive phones that you cannot.
Yeah, they're sealed tightly, so they can be water resistant.
Yeah. Apple just did announce their You Fix It at Home kit, where you can rent the tools from them or buy them if you want, and do the repair yourself if you so choose. It doesn't really save you much money, but some people like doing it.
You know what? If you like doing it, good for you. And if you screw it up, you take it to Steve, and he charges you more.
Well, it's like the old Pram oil filter. Pay me now, pay me later.
Exactly. Well, you know, let's take a look at cars. Everybody used to fix their own cars.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and nowadays, you don't even know what half of that stuff is. And if you haven't got the right computer device to look at what's going on under the hood, you can't fix your car at all anymore.
I can remember back in 1967, I had my 57 Ford, and I had to spend a weekend, and I was literally up on the fender weld with my feet inside the engine as I'm sitting there cranking away at the alternator because I had to change the water pump.
Yep.
And you had to take that all off, the belts and that off, and then all those screws around the water pump, take that off, get the new water pump, scrape all that stuff. But I'm sitting inside the engine.
Yeah.
There's no way you could even get your arms into it now, alone your feet.
I was going through the parking lot at a place I worked, and there was a giant truck sitting there with the hood up. And I walked over to see what was going on. I looked in. It was one of the women I work with in there doing much the same thing. She was completely hidden inside the engine compartment.
Yeah.
She had climbed in there to do something. And I thought, yeah, you can't do that anymore.
No.
I remember just before my birthday, many, many decades ago, I got a beautiful orange Volkswagen Beetle. And for my birthday, my father gave me a set of metric wrenches.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yep.
Perfect. Now maybe you get an automatic tire filler. That's pretty much what you're going to do in a new car. You know?
Volkswagens.
You can buy the little diagnostic computer. You can plug it in yourself and then not know what to do with it.
Not
know,
not. Exactly.
Volkswagens used to be so much fun to work on.
Oh, I loved that.
You tear it apart and put it together back together again in a weekend.
I used to jack it alone if you had to.
Yeah.
I had to jack mine up on the back end, drop the engine, because I had to run new heater coils. And for those...
You had heat?
Well, they for a while there during the winter, I had to wire them open.
Yeah.
Because you had to go up front and literally open them, wire them so they'd stay open. But then that spring, I wound up dropping the engine and then rerunning all new cables and run it back. And I also had the incident because of your clutch and brake. Only had a pin through there. And I never forget this as long as I live. I was coming up here Maiden Lane, and I went to hit the brake, and it went right to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I had to quick downshift, and I was able to shut it off. I rolled, and I missed this brick wall by maybe a foot, if that. And what had happened was the bolt had come out. I had to put that in. I put a hose clamp around it. And I was able to get back home. And I was like, whoa. I saw my whole life flashing in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
But they were great cars, though, to drive.
I loved driving.
I remember needing to change a serpentine cable on 490 in my Dodge Monaco. I took the car back when it was a tank. We fit 12 people in that car and go to the drive-in.
Yeah. Three of them in the trunk.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two of them laying in the back room.
Yeah.
Yep. We went to see an all night The Man with No Name.
Driving
Hang 'em High, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly for a Fistful of Dollars for a few dollars more, all four of those. Clint Eastwood films. And we took a friend's Rambler.
Nash Rambler?
The Nash Rambler. It had the front seat folded down, so the entire interior was a flat bed.
Cool.
And so we sat up against the back.
Yeah.
The back, and our legs were out.
Just stretched out like a lounge. And
sitting all next to each other, and we could watch the movie. It was great. It was great. But yeah, we used to go to the drive-ins are a thing that many of you have never heard of. I'm sorry.
There's still one, I think, down in Lyons. Lyons, New York. There's a drive-in.
Cool.
Down around that area that you can go and still see a few movies.
Nice. We used to go
one in Perry.
We used to fill the trunk.
We used to
fill the trunk with people. You're not going to need the spare tire in the next 5 hours. That's a whole half a person right there.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, we used to do that all the time. When we were younger, we don't do those things anymore, mainly because there's no more drive-thrus.
Avon and Perry are the two closest to us. And then there's one in Middleport that's a little farther away.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, I think we've got time for another phone call. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Ralph from Greece, New York. Hi, Ralph, what's up?
Hello, gentlemen. First off, I'd like to say congratulations on 33-plus years of being on the radio.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on your 72nd birthday.
Thank you so very much.
Actually, it's not so much a question. I would like to hire one of you guys, or all three, as I'm a songwriter, but I cannot sing, and I need to get into the 21st century, and I'd like to set up a website with song lyrics and, you know, possibly hiring people who can sing locally, and I would like to hire one of you guys to help me out with that.
That's a very good point. Listen, do me a favor. I don't know that any of us is going to do that for you, but we'll certainly put the word out. If you will email me, asknick@gmail.com.
Okay, wait a minute.
asknick@gmail.com.
gmail.com, okay.
Right, that's Ask Nick, like Ask Nick a Question.
Mm-hmm. Right.
@gmail.com with all your information, and we'll see what we can We'll see what we can find for you.
Okay. I'll try and do that then. I'll have to have somebody help me with that. I'm not even good at doing email.
Well, all right, but get that to me, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Thank you much for your time, and like I say, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye now.
Sometimes. Yeah, a lot of people don't have websites and need them. They're not difficult.
There's a few design your own systems, you know, like Squarespace and Wix. But you got to
be computer savvy, somewhat computer savvy.
Right. Or have someone who can do it for you. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
And you know, I'll ask around. Of course, Ralph, I'm sure understands that somebody's going to charge him to do that. But
yeah,
post on Facebook if you know how to do that. But one of the problems is that anyone and their brother can say they're a web designer.
Right.
And there's kind of two halves of web design. We at our company we work with a lot of ad agencies.
Right.
Because that's where the Macintosh was big. That was the first, the Trojan niche, we called it.
Right.
And so they had really great designers, but not really good programmers, because there's coding and there's design.
Yeah.
And then we also worked with a lot of coders. And we tried
Two different things.
We tried to get them together to make, you know, everyone wanted to do it themselves.
Yeah.
So there was a great web design, but the code was horrible and it was slow and buggy. Or you had really, really good code and it looked horrible.
Yeah. I'm the second one.
Yeah.
I can code. But if you've seen any of the websites I designed, they aren't wonderful.
Plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're certainly simple.
Well, no.
But I'm not a designer. I've never said I was a designer.
Mm-hmm.
No. And half the people I talk to and say, well, you're a designer. Why don't you design me a website? Well, I don't know.
I've always been a better redesigner.
Right.
I look at something and fix it, but I can't come up with it from scratch.
Right.
Yeah, some
right.
folks
right.
have the eye that they can visualize in the right way, so it's attractive, because that's the key thing. When you design a website, you've got to be able to capture somebody's interest within seconds.
7 seconds is the maximum.
Because otherwise, they're going on to something else.
That's exactly right. And the skill set of designing things like brochures and posters and things like that are only partially transferable to designing websites. There's a whole language and a whole background that is different because it's live, because it's interactive, because you don't have just a single above-the-fold page. You've got a page that could extend forever and connect to other pages. So it's a very different sort of thing, and we don't have enough people who really are exceptionally good at that.
You find a lot of college kids, you know, studying to be a web designer, who will put out their own shingle and try to do stuff, but then they graduate and they're gone and you're left in a lurch.
Well, that's exactly right. And although it can be done from anywhere, many people don't really continue in that profession once they graduate. And so they abandon what they've created. All right. That is it. The second show of our 34th year, I won't be continuing that much longer, is in the books. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank everybody who was kind enough to vote in the poll. Please do vote in the poll. Soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. And we're done. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Don't forget to join us Wednesday night at
7 p.m.
Say it again. You're off mic.
Off mic. Around the Court, United Church of Christ, 7 p.m. Go to applecider.org for more information.
And we will be showing you how to turn your old computer into a Chromebook. And that's it. We're done for another week at 58 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours.